What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. I am your host, the one, the only, Trent, Mr. Where Are the Sundresses? Will there be a sundress season? Jesus, please fix it. Anyways, welcome to this week's episode, y'all. Before I get started, as I've unfortunately had to do in these last couple of episodes, I have to address some shit that has nothing to do with love, sex, and relationships, because, I mean, even though that's not what the show is about, I'm a black man in America. I can't pretend I don't see what y'all are seeing. I can't pretend I don't hear what y'all are, what we're all hearing, you know what I mean? Unless you've been living under a rock, and even then, you probably still have heard about it. Everything going on with COVID still, but that's kind of been put to the wayside as states have been opening up. Lately, it's been about George Floyd, about a black man who had a knee on his neck and couldn't breathe, and this white officer decided, oh, you don't need to breathe, nigga. Just, you'll be all right. And just decided a knee in this man's body was what was needed and killed this man. And then there were other cops standing around that did nothing about this, knowing it was wrong, and they just kind of stood around and let it happen. Personally, I hope they can all rot in jail. They can all rot in jail for the rest of their lives. I doubt they will have to, but I wish they would. That's what they deserve, because, you know, it's crazy that, you know, I know this may not apply to anybody but really black listeners of this podcast, and hell, I ain't got that many listeners to begin with, so, but the few people that I know may listen to this, they're more likely than not to be black, and the fact of the matter is, hundreds and hundreds of years after we were, quote-unquote, given our freedom, you know, that's something like some white people just don't understand. Like, black people had to fight for their freedom to be told that they are free, whereas white people have never had to do anything of the sort. Some would probably jump in and be like, oh, what about the American Revolution? Niggas fought in that too. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, I'm just, it pisses me off. It pisses me off that some people just really, really choose to not get it, and I don't know, it's enough to really have me angry and get me in a bad place that I don't want to be. But it's crazy that after so many hundreds of years of our different ancestors fighting for our freedom, fighting for our basic rights, that we still have to continue fighting for equality and equity in this world, that even though we work our asses off and everybody else seems to profit off us the most, we still got to fight for our freedom. We still got to fight for our basic rights, and that's bullshit. But, you know, I can, oddly enough, even though I hope we continue fighting, I hope we continue fucking things up for people until things really change. I don't want to linger on this all episode, but I did realize that there's a way to segue into exactly what I'm talking about today. So what I'm going to go into next, we were talking about racial inequality, but there's also gender inequality. Women have had to fight 2 to 3 to 5 to 10 times harder than men to be seen, to be heard, to be able to just exist and just want equal pay, to want equal treatment, you know, and have laws that are not against, completely against women and completely for men. And, you know, women are still fighting for that to this day. That alongside that, for the little bit I was on social media during this time, alongside the different tweets about George Floyd and I can't breathe and all that, were, I noticed there were tweets about, from what I could gather, the age when different women can remember themselves being sexually abused. Most of them were when they were teenagers, and most of them by people they knew. Hold on a second. Most of them are people they knew, and, you know, most of them multiple times. And, you know, sexual coercion, rape, non-consensual sex, like, that still happens each and every day, unfortunately. That people are still not understanding that no means no, no matter when that no transpires, that no means no, that consent is always first and foremost. I think that it's only fair that if a woman is working just as hard as a man, she deserves the same pay. That if she's working her ass off, she deserves the same position. She deserves that there should be equal numbers of women on different boards of where power and all that stuff matters, that there should be equal representation of women and men, not just a whole bunch of men and, oh, just to spice things up, we'll have one woman in here. Because really, if it's one of those kind of situations where voting things can come to a vote, if there's only one woman on that committee or on that team or whatever, that woman's voice is going to get stomped out every time anyway. So again, it has to be equal, or it doesn't really matter, does it? It's like throwing a bone. It's kind of like how, I guess, in the same way of talking about racial inequality, it's kind of how a lot of these companies are scrambling at the last second to try to throw a message about how they're not standing for racial inequality. And some, I believe, are coming from a genuine place, but some, I feel like they're just toeing the line because they see all the other companies doing it. So they're doing it so that they don't get, quote unquote, canceled, or so they can continue keeping customers, or whatever the case may be, or keep up with the times. But I digress. As much as we should continue striving for equality for everyone, racially speaking, sexual orientation speaking, gender speaking, it's interesting that, you know, sexually and romantically speaking, all that striving and desire for equality, it's not necessarily, you know, that big, you know, hey, this needs to happen. Like, you know, there are certain things in certain ways, societally and culturally speaking, where women have the advantage, and there are some where men have the advantage, and that in certain ways, people are okay with that. So this week's episode is called Gender Roles, Boozy, and It's All Good. Now, if you've been listening to my podcast, some of this is going to be rehashed. A good chunk of this is probably going to be rehashed, just probably spun in a different way, but it's definitely going to be some rehash of, from the looks of what I wrote down, looks like episodes 2, 15, 17, 18, 20, 27. You are probably, if you ever listen to those episodes in the future, or if you have listened to those episodes, some of this stuff should sound familiar. But if this is the first episode you've ever listened to my podcast, then it's all going to be new to you anyway. So either way, strap in. It should be fun. Should be a fun time. It's late. You know, getting ready to go to sleep after this recording. But I feel like no time is better than the present than to talk about these different issues. So even if it's rehash, hell, sometimes we need a rehash, because as a people in general, in the human race, we hard-headed. We're a little hard-headed. So sometimes we got to get the message a couple of times before it sinks in. So a rehash ain't going to kill you. So going into that, right now I'm currently reading a book by esteemed therapist, sex therapist, and couples counselor, Esther Perel. I'm reading her first book, Mating in Captivity. And there was a quote from the most recent chapter that I read that goes, "The poetics of sex are often politically incorrect, thriving on power plays, role reversals, unfair advantages, imperious demands, seductive manipulations, and subtle cruelties." So I believe that chapter was, the main point of that was talking about how, like, there are things like what we were talking about previously, such as like gender inequality, and things in society where, hey, you know, we should be striving for equality and things like that, that don't necessarily translate when we're talking about moving to the bedroom. That, especially if we're talking about, you know, submission and domination and sadomasochism, you know, all the fun stuff, guys, fun stuff. So the chapter talks a lot about how, like, you have different types of people who, I think she was talking, the way she started off the chapter was talking about how she went to a conference full of therapists, and a therapist presented a case and tried to get suggestions from the audience of what they thought was going on. And basically, when they got to the point of talking about how the couple liked to engage in dominant and submissive play, a lot of the therapists' first go-to was, oh, they have mental issues, they got problems, she must have a problem, she likes getting beat, and da da da. And then, of course, Esther was like, maybe she just enjoys that, erotically speaking, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, perhaps. Maybe she's one of those people who, in her daily life, has to be in charge of everything, has to watch over everything at work. She's a boss at work. She's a boss at home. As far as dealing with the important financial stuff and all that stuff, she might be the boss when it comes to the family, you know, watching over parents, watching over siblings and other things like that. That this woman may be the boss everywhere else in life, and that's cool, that's great. But her being submissive in the bedroom is kind of like a vacation from all that shit. That she kind of gets to, in a way, resolve that psychological query where she's always having to be in charge. There's this one time and one place where she can safely and consensually release the reins and let somebody else take control for a change. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what Esther was saying, and I agree with that. Like, I totally agree with that. That those same issues where we're like, hey, we don't beat on women because that's wrong, and da da da, we don't hit women, we don't touch women, and unless it's consensually, and da da da. While to a degree we're still talking consensually, I think what, at least from my viewpoint and from my limited, very limited experience in things of a dominating manner, there's something so, like, if you know me in real life, you know what kind of person I am. And, you know, I usually like to serve. That's usually what my position is. I'm always the person trying to help somebody. I'm the person trying to serve. I'm trying to ask you what you need. How can I help you? You know, what can I do to be of service? And that's usually what I'm doing. But behind closed doors, I find it very, very, very exciting to change, flip that around and dominate a little bit. Like, to just kind of come out that role and not necessarily have to be, you know, serving. That I can, while I can do that if I choose to, I can also be in that position of shut the fuck up and get on your knees. You know, I can, you know, discipline a naughty brat who needs to learn her place, who's just yapping, 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 running at the mouth and needs to remember where she belongs. And all this, of course, being behind closed doors, consensually, I think it's awesome because it's so much fun. All that stuff, all the spankings, the choking, the denial, the forced orgasms, where, oh man, I could literally just get lost in that particular area of it. But all I'm trying to say is, like, even though I'm a person who enjoys serving and doing all that, that sometimes behind closed doors, I like to dominate. I like to be in charge. I like to really get in there and get a little rough with it. And there was a time in life I didn't, I was like the people that Esther was trying to make understand in that conference, that I was one of those people that I was like, oh man, something must be going on with them if they, like, you know, getting smacked around a little bit, if they like being choked and all this stuff, they must have some real issues. Nah, I used to think like that. I won't pretend I didn't. I used to think like that. Then some different experiences came in life for me to explore that, and I definitely don't agree with that anymore. I very much so enjoy those activities. So, you know, that feeling of being in absolute control of a person in that moment gets the blood moving, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, talking about gender roles in the realm of just life and sexually speaking, you know, society and culture has a way they want men to be presenting and the way they want women to be presenting. And when you try to go against that, it causes problems for some people, that some people just don't understand it because they feel, oh, you're a woman, you're supposed to be acting this way, or you're a man, you're supposed to be doing this. If you're not, maybe you're not as much of a man as I thought you were. You're not, your masculinity is called into question. Or if you're a woman, it's like, oh, that's not very ladylike. And it's like, so the fuck what? Let people be who they're going to be. But that's coming later in the episode. But like I said, we're talking about gender roles, Boosie, and it's all good. Like, this is all going to tie together. Just trust me. So societally and culturally speaking, there are quite a few cultures that feel this way. And society in general, women are expected to be passive, in some cases seen and not heard. And in other cases, they can be nasty as the day is long. But that nasty ass woman better had only slept with one man, if that one man. And that, oh, women are supposed to be timid and frigid when it comes to sex. And the thing is, none of that is accurate. Like, and you know, I can only go off my own experiences with women. And yeah, I can only go off my own experiences with women. But the older that I've gotten, and I'm 31, about to be 32 in less than a month, the older I've become, the more sexually open, aggressive women that I've met. And I gotta say, for me personally, I fucking love it. Oh my God, it's the best thing ever. It's like, is it better than ice cream? It's on the same level for me. Like ice cream and fried chicken and things. Of course, I'm naming food because who the hell don't like food? And who the hell don't like some good ass fried chicken? But I digress. I fucking love a woman who knows what the fuck she wants and isn't afraid to say what she wants or say what's on her mind or speak sexually and just be direct and certain about that, confident with it. I love it, you know. Sexually aggressive, openly open-minded women, you make my day. Shout outs to Dave Chappelle. But yeah, I love that shit personally. Now, don't get me wrong. There are men who are not here for that shit. And we're going to talk about those men in just a minute here. But that's not what we're talking about. Like I said, the older I've become, the more open women that I've come across. And, you know, it's a very interesting transition. I want to say since somewhere in my, early mid-20s, if that makes sense. Like, you know, 23, 24 age. From that point since now, most of the women I've dated or encountered up to this point, the vast majority of them have been older than me. And I think it has something to do with that whole more open, more direct approach that women in their upper 20s, lower 30s, and beyond have, at least in the African-American community. You know what I'm saying? It's good stuff. You know, for me personally, as far as my interactions with women, for me, that's a solid indicator for me if a woman is really talking about something. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not something I have to worry about at this point in life. My girlfriend of present is very direct. She goes in, she goes straight in, and she will straight up lay the thing down on the table. Like, is we fucking? Or We doing some big time fucking? What's going on here? Are we gonna fuck? Can I suck your dick? Can I? You know, she don't care. She just going, if she wants to ask it, she gonna ask it. If she wanna say it, she gonna say it. If she wants it to happen, she gonna say it. And I love that about her. But back over the years of dating and whatnot, to me, that was an indication. That was a surefire, guaranteed, no two ways about it, guaranteed way of me knowing if a woman was serious about trying to get with me or not. Because to me, at least from my experiences, people say a lot of shit. Talk is cheap. People say a lot of different things. And sometimes people even do certain things that could be misconstrued, that could, you could look at the action and be like, now this could be a totally innocent, completely friendly action that I should read no more into. But as we well know, a lot of women believe in telepathy. I ain't gonna say all, I'm just gonna say some. Some women believe in telepathy where, you know, you're supposed to just know what they want or know that they're attracted to you just because you're sending them vibes mentally, that they're supposed to catch those. And speaking for myself, I am not one for the subtle. I don't really catch it. It goes right over my head. And I'm the person that's like, look, if I can read your action two ways, if I can read it as a friendly gesture or, oh, you're into me, I'm going to read it as you're being friendly, because that's just me. That's the safe route. But if a woman says, I want your dick, or I want a blankety blank, your blank blank till you blank blank, you know what I'm saying? Redacted all day long. You can't really read that two ways. You can't say, oh, she's just being friendly, saying she wants to, you know, wants me to come in her. No, she's just being friendly. No, the fuck she isn't. She wants you, sir. You know, or, hey, we're talking. Here's a thirst trap. That's a future episode coming up. We got to talk about that, but that's later. Well, oh, here's a thirst trap of me half naked. That's not friendly, my dude. Like, unless there was some prior discussion about it coming out in a friendly context, which rarely is. If a woman just sends you a thirst trap out of the blue, you probably can get some. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way to read that in a friendly way. So that's always been a solid indicator for me. So, you know, a lot of words can be misread, and a lot of actions can be misunderstood, but certain things, you know what they mean. You know what that woman's trying to say. That direct route, you know what she's trying to say, because there's no, oh, I'm trying to be subtle, I'm trying to be cute. Nah, it's, here's what I want to do, here's what I want to see happen, here's what I'd like to happen. Do you want that to happen, yes or no? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Women are expected, in a lot of cultures and societally speaking, at least in America for sure, they're expected to be passive. That if a woman is being direct and aggressive and things like that, that something must be wrong with her. You know what I mean? That women are often shamed for being sexually aggressive and assertive. If that woman is telling you to grab some ass, if she's grabbing your dick, if she's telling you nasty shit, that if she's doing that, something must be wrong with her. And for some guys, it may turn them off, or they may get shy about it because they're not used. They're used to being the one that's doing the chase, not the person doing a little chasing. You know what I mean? So, you know, women are shamed for this, and it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's dumb. Like, if a woman knows what she wants, why should she be penalized for that? If she is certain enough and confident enough in herself to know, hey, I want this, I want you, and she can verbalize that or even show it in other ways, why should she not be able to do that? But, you know, there are men who definitely feel that way. And then you have the men. There's a certain classification of men that always comes up when we're talking about inequalities and how society and different cultures want a woman to be. There are men who feel that a woman who's going to be their future wife, the future mother of their children, should be a lot of different things, but she shouldn't be nasty, or she shouldn't be sucking dick, or that's beneath her to be sucking dick. Or, you know, if she's talking nasty, that's inappropriate for the mother of my children, my wife. There are men who live and die by that kind of thinking. And, of course, you got niggas like me who hear that and they're just like, come again? Why can't these be the same people? What's the problem here? I don't hear a problem. What is your problem? There's a problem here? But, yeah, there are definitely men who... There are men who expect a woman to be porn star, absolutely filthy, disgusting when it comes to sex. But there are different. There's two different types of men in this category. There's the men who expect a woman to be absolutely filthy, disgusting, sexually speaking, but want that same nasty, filthy, disgusting woman to have only slept with one guy. Like, oh, how many men you sleep with? Oh, I slept with one. Oh, okay, that's cool. There are some men who are like anything beyond one or two, they're like, oh, she's a hoe, she's ruined, she's nah, you don't want that. She's a tossback, she's a, you know what I mean, you fuck her, that's all you do, you don't marry her. What? How do you get good at anything? Like, in the world of video games, it's called get good, you know what I mean? Where if you get stuck on a certain level, you gotta keep trying it over and over and over, seeing that game over screen until you get it right, until you learn the tactics necessary to move on to the next level. And I mean, for me, it's the same way in life. Like, how do you get good at basketball? You don't get good at basketball by playing once a year and not practicing ever. You just go out and play a game or two and that's it. No, that's not how that works. If you want to get good at anything, how do you think LeBron got to be where he is right now? How Jordan got to be where he was? How, may he rest in peace, Kobe Bryant got to where he was? He wasn't like not in the gym. He was in the gym, shooting, making the shots, missing shots, figuring out exactly where he needs to be to make his three-pointers, you know, how to get them dunks in, how to do all that good shit, how to get it to his teammates to get the points necessary. You have to practice, 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 eat, sleep, and breathe the shit to become that good, to raise your skill level to that level. So, the same goes for sex. If you want to be that good at sex, you're probably going to have quite a bit of sex to get there. I'm not saying you got to just fuck the entire world, per se, but you're going to have some sex. You're going to have to fuck some people. And that's okay. But for some men and for some societies and cultures, that's not okay. A woman should not be out here having sex all willy-nilly. But man, yeah, he can just do whatever. It's fine. It's normal. It's what he's supposed to do. That's what men are supposed to do, right? We're gonna get to men in just a minute, but in that respect, but let me come back to the point I was trying to make. You got the men who feel like their future wives and mother of their children should only have fucked one guy but be sexually experienced to a high degree. And then you got the men who feel like, oh no, you know, my future wife, the mother of my children, shouldn't be sucking dick. That's beneath her. A woman sucking dick is disgusting and gross, and my wife shouldn't be doing that. However, a side piece can do all that, yeah, because she's less respectable, so that less respectable woman can suck my dick all the live long day. And like, you know, that's the woman I'll do anal with, and that's the woman I'll slap around and choke and all that stuff. I'm like, huh? So instead of having one woman that's your wife, the mother of your children, the woman who you wrap your hands around her throat when y'all alone sometimes, and spank her and all that fun shit, you're saying that should not be one woman. That should be, the wife should be sweet and wholesome and never do anything like that, and y'all just have, what, missionary sex? Like, regular, like plain missionary sex? I'm talking just you on top, you pump into her, and that's it. Game over. There's no oral on either one of y'all's parts. There's no, none of that. You get your nut and you move on, versus having a side piece that you do all the nasty shit with. Like, that's your thinking. That's what you're trying to tell me. No, that's stupid. That's big time stupid. I'm not here to judge anybody, but in a way, I guess I am being judgmental. So, you know, I'm not trying to be judgy, but hey, it's my podcast episode. It ain't a therapy session. So, yeah, I'm judging you. If you're that kind of man, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? These should be the same people. But that's when you start getting into respectability politics. Like, what a person does, and to me, the way I see it, what a person does and does not do sexually has nothing to do with respecting them as a human being, respecting that person as a woman, respecting that person as a man, whatever the situation may be. And, you know, that... And like I said, I can't speak for all women. I can barely speak for women at all because I'm a man. Like, at the end of the day, I'm a man. So me trying to speak for women is pretty much a no-go anyways. But I'm gonna, you know, if a woman listening to this feels I'm wrong in saying this, correct me if I'm wrong. But especially black women, correct me if I'm wrong. But from what I've seen personally with the women I've dealt with and the women I've just known over the course of my life, a lot of the time... Black women have to be the ones in control, that they have to take the reins out of necessity from men who have dropped the ball in some form or fashion. And we're talking fathers, we're talking brothers, we're talking uncles, we're talking boyfriends, husbands, that many a time a woman has had to take the reins and be in control to get shit done. And so my thing is, if a woman... who has always had to be in control out of necessity, out of that's what has to be done. We got to get this done so that life can move forward in a positive direction. That a woman can be in charge. That same woman who is in charge, who is getting equal rights and getting equal pay, should also be okay for her to desire to be a dirty, nasty, filthy whore, slut, and or bitch who does as she's told. Behind closed doors, that if that's what she wants to do, that she should be able to do that without being judged for it or being shamed or made to feel guilty about it. Like, if that's what she wants to do, cool. That same woman who wants to be those things behind closed doors should still get the utmost respect and utmost love, you know, from whomever she's desiring it from. That it shouldn't be a difference that you can only have one or the other, you know? And I mean, I didn't want to really take it here to just really be outlandish and wild and out, but I gotta keep it 100. Like, this is to you, this is for the men. I don't even know if any are gonna ever listen to this episode or even hear this part or get this deep into an episode to get to this, but for those men who are in those camps, the ones who feel like their future wives can't be doing these quote-unquote nasty things, or the men who expect their wife to be a nearby virgin, only have fucked one person, but be nasty as hell. I want you to keep something in mind for those people in that camp. And I hate to be the one to remind you of this, but it is what it is. Your mama has probably kissed your cheeks after sucking some dick. Now, I know that's pretty gross. A lot of y'all listen to that and y'all like, man, you are being, you wilding. Like, why even take it that far? Because it's the truth. Like, some people like to pretend and really go into la-la land and act like we didn't all get here somehow by our parents having sex. Each and every last one of us on this planet are here because... two people decided to have sex. For the most part, the vast majority of us are only here because somebody's dad fucked somebody's mom. And here we are. So, in the process of that happening, oral sex didn't just appear out of nowhere in the 2000s or in the 90s. Dicks have been getting sucked and fucked in anal and all that shit for hundreds, if not thousands of years. These are not new concepts. So, all the things you're saying you don't want your future wife to be, your mama probably already has been, and you love the hell out of your mama, don't you? Well, yeah, you do? Then shut the fuck up and get over it. Like, your mom has probably served you breakfast with dick on her breath. You didn't know, because you ain't know any better. You wasn't paying attention. You was worried about breakfast. You was worried about school. You wasn't paying attention. You was just happy to get some food in your stomach. And that's that. The fact of the matter is, you worried about the wrong goddamn thing trying to be a pussy advocate out here. Like, you worried about the wrong fucking thing, my dude. So get the fuck over it. And the other reason I am really kind of passionate about that point of get the fuck over it, because a lot of these men who claim they want a quote unquote freaky ass woman who's only slept with one or two guys, or claim that a woman is less respectable if she is into oral sex and anal and S&M and whatever, what have you. A lot of these men are the same ones that be, you know, walking around talking about, yeah, I want a freaky ass woman, you know what I'm saying? Freaky as she want to be, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I want. And you have a whole host of men who claim they are freaks and with it and shit, but in truth, can't handle those women at all. That cannot handle a woman who knows her shit, who knows what she wants and ain't afraid to say it and go get it. You know what I mean? Like, you have a lot of men who claim that's what they want, but when they get it, they don't know what the fuck to do with it. They get that woman that's freaky and sexually open-minded, and that woman is trying to get them to fuck any and everywhere and all the fucking time. Like, every time they're together, they're like, can I get some dick? Let me suck your dick. Go ahead and eat this pussy. Come on. We got some time. We got time for a quickie. Like, they get that kind of woman and they're freaked the fuck out. They're like, calm down. We're in public. Relax. We can do that when we get home. You need to calm down. That's inappropriate. Like, those are the same men busting a nut. They get their one round and they going to sleep. They ain't got nothing left for you. They ain't about to eat no more pussy. They ain't about to touch you. They about to snore. They about to... Meanwhile, you going to have to turn over and go... and finish the job, which, yeah, no good. No good. From downtown, no good. Okay, yeah. So, it's crazy. We live in a crazy world. We live in a crazy world of contradictions. You know, that's just how it goes. I think this is where we're going to call a pause for the cause. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this episode, gender roles. We're going to get into why Boozy's name is in the title of this episode. And it's all good. You are listening to Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. We're back to this week's episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. This week is gender roles, Boosie, and it's all good. So where we left off, we were talking about gender roles and how, sexually speaking, it's not always fair. Like, while we want equality in most aspects of life, there are places sexually where that inequality is asked for. It's what we want. But in ways we do want that equality, but in ways we don't, you know, that certain culture, certain societal upholdings, some want it, some don't in different ways. So I left off on men. Now, so societally and culturally speaking, men are expected to be the aggressor, to be take charge, to almost always be in the mood and ready to fuck instantly and always make the first move. Now, I can speak on this a little bit more directly because I am a man, so I can actually speak on this one. Definitely not the case. Definitely not always the case. You know, one thing I do want to say as far as sexually speaking, women love the shit as far as you being in charge and talking that talk and being nasty with it. Women love this shit when they are attracted to you. Let's make this very clear here, because some dudes don't get it. Some dudes don't understand. Some dudes will come at a woman like that, a woman they don't know from Sue or Karen on the street, and come straight in with the filth and then be confused when she's just like, ugh, go away. Please, none for me, sir. I'm good, love. Enjoy. Go away. I don't want to talk to you. Please die. Go play in traffic. You know what I mean? Like, they're confused as to why they get that response going in for the filth from the start at times. I'm not saying that's how it always goes, but that's how it can go. And when it goes that way, they're confused as to why it goes this way. Women love And a lot of more than a few women enjoy that shit to the highest when it's coming from a man that they love and respect and knows that man loves and respects her. Oh yeah, they here for it all day long, all night long, and whenever possible, you know. But if you're not an interest for them, yeah, all they're gonna do is look at you and be like, "Sir, no, I'm not buying what you're selling. Please leave. No soliciting here." But to go even more directly into the truth, as far as, you know, men being the aggressors and being in charge and always in the mood and ready to fuck instantly, that's just not how it is. Now, don't get me wrong. If you look in women's DMs and text messages and group chats, you will see many of an example of men being exactly like that, pretty much proving the stereotype wrong. Or proving the stereotype right, that's what it would appear to be, that men, how men behave. But in truth, if we're being actual and factual, not all men are like this. Believe it or not, and like I said, most of my listenership at this point are women. So, you know, if there are guys listening, hey, you can feel free to disagree with me. But some men just aren't as moved by sex as the average. I know you're probably listening like, nigga, please. Men love sex. Men think with their dicks all the time. And yeah, we are quite often led by our dicks. It's pretty sad. But yes, we are quite often led by our dicks. Some of us have a little bit more control over that, but yeah, it's on average, yeah. Men, it would appear that way, but there are some men that sex don't really move them, because either they not for any multitude of reasons, they just may not be that into it. And the thing is, a lot of times there are situations where a man's masculinity and manhood are challenged if he shies away from sex, or if he's not aggressive when it comes to romance or sex, that he's shy, you know what I mean? If that man is passive, if that woman is making all the moves and the guy's kind of like, oh, you're coming on a little strong or whatever, that, you know, by men and women alike, it's seen as, oh, that man's not that much of a man, or, oh, he's going to be grow up to be a pussy, or, you know. And like I said, it doesn't just come from men talking to other men. Don't get me wrong. You will have that man that's saying, you don't like pussy. You ain't worried about trying to fuck. Man, you must be gay, or some shit like that. That's the kind of response you get from men, or, yeah, okay, pansy, go over there. We'll let the men keep talking about whatever. You get those kind of responses, you know what I mean? And I think that response, whether it's coming from a man or a woman, because in the woman's sense, you'll have the situations where a man and a woman might be dating each other or wanting to date each other. And in certain circumstances, if that man is, you know, being shy and that woman is being direct and aggressive and he's kind of being shy about the shit or being passive, he's seen as a punk, a pussy, gay, or just straight up not interested. And sometimes that is the case, that the man is just not interested because you're throwing what you're trying to sell something to him and he ain't buying because he genuinely isn't that interested in you. And that does happen. But while that does happen, there are instances where the guy is just, you know, he's shy. It's not really, he's not pressed for the shit. So he's, you know, not necessarily going to jump your bones immediately, even when you're giving the all clear, when you're giving him the runway lights, like, hey, you are clear for takeoff. Go ahead and dive on in this thing. You know, you can't see me doing the little cone light thingy motions that the airport people have, but that's what I was doing. But, you know, by men and women alike, for men, it's how it definitely can have something to do with how they were brought up and how their father's father was brought up. And, you know, that for a lot of men, heterosexually speaking, for sure, but even gay and bisexual men who have to deal, gay, bisexual, transgender men who are brought up in homes of heterosexual fathers and grandfathers and uncles and male influences, there's a certain expectation and encouragement of sexual conquest as early as humanly possible, and encouragement to have as many women as humanly possible. And that's me saying it as direct as possible. Like, from a very young age, that expectation and that encouragement come quick. That you were, that as soon as your dick, as soon as a man assumes your dick can start working, they're like, they're asking you, have you started having sex yet? Are you fucking? Y'all not fucking? Or y'all having sex yet? Like, that's where it goes. Like, so too many conversations, that's where the shit goes. And if you say you not fucking or you not trying to fuck or whatever, you are immediately, you not trying to fuck. Okay, whatever, nigga. You lying. Or you not trying to fuck. What, you gay? You don't like pussy? What is that your problem? You whatever. You got a problem? Your dick don't work? What's going on here? What's the problem? And don't get me wrong. It's something that's passed on generation to generation. And I'm not going to pretend like I've never, ever, 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 ever said something like that to somebody. I'm not going to pretend I haven't, because I probably have at some point. But me, who I am now in this day and age, hell no. I don't believe in that shit. That's not okay. That's not cool, because everybody's different. Everybody's priorities are different. Everybody was brought up differently. And some people, they're just not as sexually open, and just not, that's not what they're worried about. So that doesn't mean that they are some sort of punk pussy, whatever you want to call it, that they're less of a man. No, they're just a man who doesn't really care about sex, or they're not that pressed for sex, or whatever the case may be. Now, of course, I said I was going to explain how Boosie fit into this episode. So amongst this time of Rona, everybody's been getting on different, social media platforms and doing different random shit. I believe Tory Lanez, is that his name? I don't be keeping up with the names of these new rappers and R&B niggas. I believe it's Tory Lanez, I think. Oh, if I'm saying the wrong name, I don't really care. I'm not embarrassed because I don't listen to some of these new niggas. Anyway, the point is, that nigga and Quarantine Radio, where it's like all kinds of ass shaking and pussy popping and all that kind of wildness. You got that kind of shit going on. And then you got Boosie online making all these different IG lives and shit like that. Show me your pussy lips for $200 or some shit like that. Whatever the fuck he said. And one of the videos that came up, I want to say in the last month and a half, was Boosie on IG Live basically talking about how he bought, I want to say the main point of it was he had bought one of his sons a prostitute to take his, quote unquote, take his virginity so that he could go ahead and get it out the way and start fucking as soon as possible and get going. Nah, that's not okay. Like, you should not be buying your teenage son, or possibly even younger than that, definitely not younger than that, but you definitely shouldn't be buying your teenage son a prostitute. Not because buying a prostitute is wrong. I'm not saying that's the problem here. The problem is the age. The age of consent is 18, my nigga. If you are 18 and under, you should not be fucking with no grown-ass woman. You should not be... Sex should not necessarily be the first thing on your mind anyways. But you have these men out here who have been brought up like that, who were brought up like that and brought up in a world of men who, exactly what I said previously, that they were, that their expectation was that as soon as your dick start working, you need to be fucking women as soon as possible. You need to be spreading that seed. You need to be having sex with as many beautiful women as you possibly can before you get married, if you get married at all. And for some men, they'd even encourage you to continue having sex with different women after you're in a relationship, after you're married. But we're not talking about infidelity here today. We're talking about just men who are encouraging the men, young boys, to have sex as soon as possible and have sex with as many women as possible, as if that is the measure of what makes you a man. That if you're not having sex with that many women or at all, that you're not a man. You're not trying to be a man. You want to be a woman. You want to be less of a man. And, you know, Boosie was dead wrong for that shit, but I didn't go actually look at the video because I don't give a shit about Boosie like that. But I heard from the comments I saw from other people who did go on the IG Live and look at the comments and stuff, there were a bunch of men who agreed with him, that they was like, yeah, go ahead and buy that little nigga a prostitute so he can get that first nut out of the way and get the fucking real women and da-da-da-da-da. Like, they completely understood where Boosie was coming from and was applauding him. And I'm like, that's because that's how a lot of men were brought up, especially a lot of black men. A lot of black men, that was what you were taught. That's what you were taught. So that's what you're teaching your kids and any other boys you can come across. And you don't realize that's not it, champ. That's not it at all. So that's why Boosie falls into this episode, because Boosie's one of those men who I don't know this man's life. I don't know this man from a bum on the street. He kind of looked like a bum from the street, but that's another story for another day. Point is, you know, I don't know his life to know what kind of upbringing he had, if his dad was around at all to begin with, or what kind of male influences he had. But I venture to say he was probably around the kind of men and his friends and stuff that were thinking exactly how I've been discussing, about how that sexual conquest and having a lot of sex and a lot of sex with a lot of different women was one of the measures of how much of a man you are. And if you're not out there doing that, something wrong with you if you don't want to do that. So that's the men's perspective of this whole thing. But there's a woman aspect that you have to talk about in this, because it's not just men that are chastising men who aren't aggressive and going for the gold and going all the way in like that all the time. There are women who go at men like that, who are like, you know, if you're throwing your vagina at a man and he's quote unquote being scary, or he tells you to calm down, that he either isn't interested or must be gay. Now, the not interested part, like I said, could be that the dude just ain't that interested in you. Cause if he's not that interested in you, yeah, you throwing your vagina means nothing to him, because he don't really want it, period. He don't want you. He don't want that pussy. He don't want that mouth. He don't want none of it. Return to sender. Forever. You know what I mean? So, that could genuinely be the case, but the throwing in the must be gay, or he must be confused, or he's one of these derogatory words that I've said over and over and over, that something must be wrong with that man. And I mean, I hate to quote Megan Thee Stallion, because I actually like her music. I'm not like a super fan or anything, but she fine, first of all. Fine as hell. Two, Houston, H-Time, you know what I mean? It go down, baby. Two. And then three, I like some of her songs. Some of her songs go off. They got a nice beat and lyrics are cool and everything. But I'm going to quote Big Ol' Freak. See, I'm a big old freak. I love to talk that shit. And you must be a pussy boy if... I may have misdone the damn lyrics. God damn it. I should have written that shit down. See, I'm a big old freak. I love to talk my shit. And you must be a pussy boy if you get offended. Yeah, there we go. There's the words. Sorry. Late. Tired. Get off my back. Megan Thee Stallion stands. Get off my back. But yeah, you see? Is it even that there is a thinking? There is a line of women that are taught by men and by other women that are like, oh, he must be a punk if he's scared of you being aggressive. Whatever. Not necessarily. But it's not an aspect that really gets talked about that much, because societally speaking and culturally speaking, on average, people are used to men being the aggressors, oh, that man wants sex all the time. Men always want to fuck. Men are always thinking about sex 24/7. That's all they think about. That's all they care about. So you get a man who isn't pressed like that, something must be wrong with him. Not necessarily, but that's what it is. The truth is, men are, you know, another truth that we don't really talk about is that while men are encouraged, heterosexually speaking, to sleep with as many women as possible and have as much sex as humanly possible, they're definitely not encouraged to fully explore their sexuality, especially if they're attracted to anything outside of women. Like, you get this whole talk of heterosexually speaking, oh, if they want the boy to have as much sex as he can with as many women, right? But let's say that boy comes out and says, "Hey, I'm not really feeling women. I like men. I like dick. What do you think about that?" Suddenly, it's pump the brakes, kid. Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't need to be taking that many dicks on, if any dicks. You know, I don't know about all that. That's when all the brake pumping starts, because it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You got too much dip on your chip. Hold on. I don't want you out here getting going off. It becomes that kind of almost. It becomes very akin to the attitude that is given towards women of, "Oh, I don't know if I want you out there doing all that now. That's, I don't know about that." And I mean, there's a reason why. I mean, in my opinion, women are more sexually explorative than men. Like, that's why I feel like there are a lot more open-minded women than there are men. That a man, as soon as he expresses interest outside of women, a lot of their male figures that they may look to for advice or look to for guidance, they're like, "I ain't got nothing for you because you like men and that's gross. I ain't here for that. Da-da-da-da. That's against God. That's against nature. That's against blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up." Whatever the fuck you want to put there. Like, it's against all that, so I can't help you. I don't really... You shouldn't be out there like that then. Never mind. If it's women, then go do whatever the hell you want. But if it's not women, I don't know about that, Chief. So, you know, I feel like that's the kind of thing that... has all kinds of inequalities popping up and imbalances and things. Like, that's the reason you have the situation of... the double standard where, you know, a woman exploring her sexuality and trying out things with women. Oh, she's just fucking around. She's just trying shit out. She's still straight. Whereas a man, the moment you look at a dick too long, for some people, you're gay. Forever. Now, you're not bisexual. You're not exploring. You're not figuring things out. You're gay. That's it. End of story. That... oh, woman had sex with a woman one time. She was just exploring. She tried it. She didn't really care for it. She's straight. No problem. Guy experiments with a guy one time. No, nigga, you gay. You gay, nigga. Nigga, you gay. That's the worst Riley impression ever, but you get my drift. Yeah. And so I just... It's a lot of people shaming people for what they like, what they don't like, what they're into, what they're not into. And that's where we get to the it's all good part of the show. Like, to me, it's like normal is relative. If I haven't learned anything else over the course of life about most things and most preferences and stuff, normal, what is considered normal is relative. Like, I've been talking about how different societies and cultures treat gender roles and things like, and sexuality and things. In America, sexuality is treated one way. In Europe, it's treated another way. In Asia, it's treated another way. In Australia, it's treated another way. In South America, it's treated another way. Like, all different parts of the world, sexuality and gender roles and all that stuff play completely different roles. And are seen in completely different manners, different from America. And, you know, what they, some of the stuff that they see as normal, Americans would go there and the average American would be like, "Oh no, that's crazy. Y'all are wild. Yada, da, da." Whereas they'd come here and be like, see some of the guilting and the shaming that we do about certain things. And they'd be like, "What's wrong with y'all? Like, why are y'all tripping? That's normal from where I'm from. That's the norm. That's the standard edition. What you mean? That's not even the enhanced edition of life. What do you mean?" And so I say all that to say, I like to think about things as normal is relative. Whether you have a high sex drive, low sex drive, no sex drive even. And you shouldn't shame people for that, because I would definitely say, before I really thought about the fact that there may be people out there that exist that are asexual, who aren't sexually attracted to anyone, and they're not really bothered about it, and they're happy, they're perfectly happy, they just, sex is not a priority or even a thought for them, that it's possible. Probably because maybe it's coming from my position as a heterosexual man who very much so enjoys sex and sexuality and things of a sexual nature, that I love that kind of stuff so much, I think that's where it comes from for me, that it's so hard for me to put it together and be like, it's very possible that somebody could not care for sex and be perfectly happy. Like, that concept sounds strange to me in parts of my mind, but the fact of the matter is, there are people out there who fall into that category, and there's nothing wrong with them. That's their normal, and that's okay. As long as, if they're happy, live and let live. You know what I mean? There's nothing, normal is relative, as I keep saying. Sexually aggressive women, nothing wrong with those. Love those personally, but whether you love them or not, that's normal. Sexually passive women, that's okay too. If a woman is not necessarily passionate about sex or that concerned about sex, that's okay. Same goes for men, sexually aggressive men and sexually passive men. Whichever side you fall on or all in between, all of it is relative and all of it is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with you. There may be something wrong with the people around you if they're judging you, making you feel this way or that way because that's how you view the world. That's your perspective. They're trying to shame you and guilt you into feeling a different way because that's just not how they feel. Then, yeah, that's a problem. They're the ones with the problem, not you. You know, if it's all good, live and let live. If someone doesn't know about a perspective outside of their own, if they're open to listening, try to help them. Educate. Don't berate. You know, don't jump all in their ass and be like, oh, you should know better. Like, they have the exact same upbringing and experiences as you. They may not have been exposed to that. So if they're open to hearing things from a different perspective, maybe it's time to, you know, open their mind a little bit. Share with them. Help them explore if you choose to want to do that. But don't immediately jump down their throats if they just say, I just don't understand. I wish somebody would explain it to me or help me try to understand. If they're genuinely trying to understand. But as we come to a close of this episode, I mean, I just want to say, look, live and let live. And don't allow society or culture or your family to dictate your sexuality or sexual orientation. Now, that's easier said than done for a number of parties involved in the world. That's for a lot of different directions, whether we're talking women, whether we're talking men, whether we're talking lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, asexual and beyond, regardless of where you fall in any of those spectrums, depending on your culture, depending on the society that you live in, living your best life sexually and romantically may be easier said than done. So I'm not going to pretend like it's just as easy as go be you and be free. In a perfect world, that's how it would be. But in this world where, as I started this podcast episode off with, in a world where we clearly all are not equally free, I understand that sometimes it's not easy to live in your truth and be your full self and be happy and free and open about things. Sometimes you don't have that privilege. Sometimes you don't have that ability to do so for fear of your life, for fear of losing your family and loved ones, for fear of so many things. So I understand it's not just so simple an act that sometimes you have to play a role in order to keep your life. And it's so much that I can go to into that, but yeah, we're coming to a close here because I'm getting tired and sleepy. So on that note, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Gender roles, Boosie, and it's all good. If you did, share it with your friends. If you're on Twitter and you follow me, retweet it, like it. Leave me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and leave me a comment. If you want to talk to me about anything that I've said in this episode and, you know, want to have a discussion, I'm always here for that. If you got that kind of access to me, get at me. We can continue talking about this. You know, I hope you enjoy the episode. I hope y'all are staying safe out there with the COVID and stuff still running rampant. And I hope, to my Black people, I hope y'all are, you know, keep your head up and keep on fighting, because something's got to change. And obviously, being peaceful and calm ain't work. It hasn't worked out too well for us. So, you know, maybe we got to do a little something different, but I digress. I hope y'all have a good evening, a good day, a good night, a good whenever the hell you're listening to this. And I'll see you when I see you. Peace.